Unnatural, written by Tryscribe and read by Flower Parish. This is an original fandom work, rated for general audiences, featuring original female characters. Hey, watch where you're going. Sorry, Thema hollered as she swerved around a merchant's cart. Sprinting across the busy road, she ducked into the twisted, stall-lined paths of the market diamond, twisting every other step to avoid crashing into someone. Can't be late, can't be late, can't be late. 2 minutes later, she skidded to a dramatic stop right in front of a bakery stall, just as the owner was setting out a tray of fresh-baked cinnamon cookies. Miss Knackery, the old man beamed. Right on time, as always. I do my best, Thema agreed, panting for breath. She dug a finger length of coiled copper out of her barter pouch and handed it over in exchange for a warm bundle of 6 cookies. Thanks, Mr. Nartson. Anytime, anytime. As long as you keep bringing me such nice metal, there will always be a batch of treats waiting for you. Nodding farewell to the baker, Thema backed up to escape his rapidly forming crowd of customers and hurried on to her second destination. Again, she sprinted, in order to arrive before the cookies cooled too much, but at least the pace was slightly less breakneck. 2 left turns and a narrow cross path brought her to a quieter market stall, where a young woman sat weaving with bright threads and glinting glass beads. Thema took a moment before approaching to simply watch and appreciate. Long, delicate fingers with only the barest hint of calluses deftly twisted and tied, their owner concentrating with every fiber of her being. A stray strand of golden hair hung in front of her face, and Thema longed to be able to casually reach over and tuck it back into the crown of braids. Her courage didn't extend nearly that far, however. Instead, she moved to stand at the edge of the stall and carefully set the bundle of cookies down within the other woman's line of sight. The weaver blinked, glancing up, and then a smile brighter than the sun lit up her face. Thema, I didn't think you were coming today. I always come, Thema mumbled, blushing and ducking her head. And I'm grateful. Are these for me? Smiling as she got an affirmative hum, the weaver reached to unwrap the bundle, sniffing appreciatively at the released smell. Cinnamon, my favorite. Thank you so much, Thema. You're welcome, Isabel, she replied, still blushing. A sudden surge of bravery filled her chest, and Thema opened her mouth to finally ask if Isa would go dancing with her that night, only to stall as the sound of many sets of metal boots tromping in time filled the air of the path behind her. Hunching her shoulders to make the hood of her jacket slip a little lower, Thema turned slightly to look out of the corner of her eye. Sure enough, a group of 10 sentrymen were marching past, led by a tall, austere woman wearing black steel armor. Thema didn't dare breathe. I hate how they always make a show of force on market days, Isabel muttered, especially with those sentinel people. They're so unnatural. Only half listening as she watched the sentrymen move on, it took a moment for Thema to register the weaver's words. She looked back at Isabel with unconcerned surprise and a sinking stomach. What? But I suppose as long as the high sentries have them under control, it's all right, the weaver continued, unaware of Thema's shock. It's those ones living wild in the sewers that really scare me. I've heard they only come out at night to steal away normal children and change them. You really believe that? Isabel hesitated. Well, maybe not. But I am certain they're awful. Why else would they hide underground, away from decent people, if they weren't up to no good? She returned to her weaving, adding a blue bead to the cloth. By the time the young woman looked back up, Thema had slipped away. Down in the old tunnels beneath the sewers of Bargate Citadel, deeper than even the rats liked to go, lived a family made up of 2 grandmothers, 3 parents, and a dozen children between the ages of 2 and 20. Their home was self-sustaining, for the most part. A fast-running stream turned the wheels that provided them with electrical power. A series of lamps and glass panels generated enough warm light to grow their food. Bits of scrap and broken things could be scavenged in abundance from the tunnels around them, to be cleaned up for sale or repaired and used again. It was secret and safe and a sanctuary. The people who lived within were quiet and kind and just wanted to be left in peace. For anyone to think otherwise was just wrong, Thema whispered. She sat on a high shelf overlooking the main chamber, arms wrapped around her legs and chin resting atop her knees. She's wrong. Who's wrong? Remaining quiet, Thema didn't move as a spindly old woman came to stand behind her, nor as wrinkled fingers began to card through her dark curls. You came back from the city almost 2 hours ago, dear heart, and you've yet to move from this spot, Nana Nakari said gently. I know something happened. Thema bit her lip and shook her head. It's stupid. I doubt that. You aren't the sort to let unimportant things bother you. A lock of hair connected to her temple got tugged a tad more firmly. Does this have to do with that weaver you've been pining after? After a long moment, Thema nodded. I know we're different, but that doesn't make us unnatural. She didn't bother to say any more, as Nana let out an understanding sigh, her hands stilling in Thema's hair. Oh, dear heart, I'm so sorry. A few tears slipped from her eyes as she sat there, the old woman at her back providing silent comfort. Once the moment passed, Thema wiped her face off and stood. I don't think I want to make market trips for a while, she said. Nana smiled softly, hands folding into her sleeves. Of course, we'll find another chore for you to do. Maybe sorting, that used to be your favorite. Thema nodded. That's fine. I'll take over for Jordy. He's been making noises about working in the forge full-time with Mama Loon. All right, then. Why don't we go have a chat with them? And afterwards, it'll be just about time for lunch. Okay, Nana. And thank you. Always, dear heart. It's what I'm here for. The end. Author's endnote. Tidbit that isn't included here. Thema and her family of adoptions are called the Nakaris because they've all got a knack for something. For finding, for knowing, for opening. It's the folks government employs, with a knack for fighting or for hurting, who give everyone else a bad reputation.